ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 10 एंटाइटल्ड प्रहलाद द बेस्ट अमंग एक्साल्टेड डिवोटीज टेक्स्ट 15-17। सो देयर आर 3 वर्सेस, सो वी विल बी रिसाइटिंग वर्स नंबर 17 टुडे। तस्मात् पिता मे पूयेत दुरन्ताद् दुस्तराद् अघात् पुतास् ते अपाङ्ग संदृष्टस् तदा कृपणा वत्सल। तस्मात् पिता मे पूयेत दुरन्ताद् दुस्तरादघात् पूतस्ते अपाङ्ग संदृष्टस् तदा कृपणा वत्सला। तस्मात् पिता मे पूयेत दुरन्तादुस्तरादघात् पूतस्ते अपान् संदृष्टाः तदा कृपणा वत्सला। तस्मात् पिता मे पूयेत दुरन्तादुस्तरादघात् पूतस्ते अपान् संदृष्टाः तदा कृपणा वत्सला। प्लीज रिसाइट। तस्मात् पिता मे पूयेत दुरन्तादुस्तरादघात् पूतस्ते अपां संदृष्टा तदा कृपणा वत्सला। श्री प्रहलाद उवाच तस्मात् पिता मे पूयेत दुरन्ताद् दुरतरदघात् पूतस्ते अपाङ्ग संदृष्टा तदा कृपणा वत्सला। तस्मात् पिता मे पूयेत दुरन्तादुस्तरादघात् पूतस्ते अपाङ्ग संदृष्टा तदा कृपणा वत्सला। माताजी तस्मात् पिता मे पूयेत दुरन्तादुस्तरास्ते अपाङ्ग संदृष्टा सदा कृपणा वत्सला। word to word meaning. Tasmat, from that. Pita, father. Me, my. Pueta, may be purified. Durantat, very great. Dustarat, difficult to pass over. Aghat, from all sinful activities. Puta, although he was purified. Te, of you. Apang, by the glance over him. Samdrishtah, being looked at. Tada, at that time. Kripanavatsala, O you who are merciful to the materialistic. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Lord, because you are so merciful to the fallen souls, I ask you for only one benediction. I know that my father, at the time of his death, had already been purified by your glance upon him. But because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the killer of his brother. Thus you directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for these sinful activities. Purport. Although Hiranyakashipu was purified as soon as he came in contact with the Lord's lap and the Lord saw him, Prahlad Maharaj still wanted to hear from the Lord's own mouth that his father had been purified by the Lord's causeless mercy. Prahlad Maharaj offered this prayer to the Lord for the sake of his father. As a Vaishnava son, despite all the inconveniences imposed upon him by his father, he could not forget his father's affection. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine. Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Deshatarine. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurtushay Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate. Tapta Kanchan Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrijavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayvacha Patita Pavanebhyo Vaishnebhyo Namo Nama. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading today from the Canto 7, Chapter 10, and verses number 15 to 17. So, these three verses are together, and we recited the verse number 17. I'll just recite verse number 15 and 16. Shri Prahlad Uvacha Varam Varaya Etate Varade San Maheshwara Yad Anindat Pitame Tvam Avidvan Steja Aishwaram Vidham Arshaya Sakshat Sarvaloka Gurum Prabhum Bhratriheityam Risadrishtis Tad Bhakte Mai Chaghavan Tasmat Pitame Puyeta Duranta Dustaradakat Putaste Apangsam Drishta Tada Kripna Vatsala. So these three verses, and once again the translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, O Supreme Lord, because you are so merciful to the foreign souls, I ask you only for one benediction. I know that my father, at the time of his death, had already been purified by your glance upon him, but because of his ignorance of your beautiful power and supremacy, he was unnecessarily angry at you, falsely thinking that you were the killer of his brother. Thus he directly blasphemed your lordship, the spiritual master of all living beings, and committed heavily sinful activities directed against me, your devotee. I wish that he be excused for these sinful activities. So, we are reading, going through the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And, you know, almost the whole canto talks about the pastime of Lord and his pure devotee. That is Prahlad Maharaj and Narsingdev. Narsingdev and Prahlad Maharaj. And previously we saw that Prahlad Maharaj, you know, prayed to the Lord. In the previous chapter we heard, he says that I don't worry for myself, because I know that I am your devotee, so I am not worried about myself, you know. I can practice anywhere, but I am worried about all the people in this material world who are suffering, who are attached to the sense gratification, and I am praying to you for their deliverance. So in the previous chapter he prayed for everyone in the material world, for all the living beings. And when Lord was very much pleased with Prahlad Maharaj, Narsingdev was very much pleased with Prahlad Maharaj. Narsingdev offered Prahlad Maharaj that, you know, if you have, what do you want? What benediction do you want? And then Prahlad says that, I don't want any benediction. Like few verses before, in the same chapter, verse number 7, Prahlad Maharaj says, you know, Yadi dasyasi me kaman varam stam varadar sabha kamanam hirdya asamroham bhavatastu vrine varam. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you at all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. So Prahlad Maharaj says, okay, if you want to give me any benediction, then I want only this benediction, that within the core of my heart there should be no material desires. I don't want any material desires. And then he says that how he takes a very humble position, and further he says that I am already having so much of lusty desires because of my beginning of one, my birth, and the function of one's senses, mind, life, body, religion, patience, intelligence, shyness, opulence, strength, memory, and truthfulness, all these things are vanquished. So then further Prahlad Maharaj says, you know, then further when Prahlad refuses to ask for any benediction, then Lord says in the 11th verse, my dear Prahlad, a devotee like you never desire any kind of material opulence, either in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to to enjoy the opulence of the demons in the material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration occupied by Manu. It doesn't matter that you are in the material world, you should always continuously hear the instructions and messages given by me and always be absorbed in thought of me, for I am the super soul existing in the core of everyone's heart. Therefore, give up fruity activities and worship me. And further, now Lord says to him, O one who always remembers your activities and my activities also, and who chants the prayers you have offered, becomes free in due course of time from the reactions of material activities. And he also tells that, you know, Lord also tells to Prahlad Maharaj that by enjoying, you know, you will finish all your pious karma by enjoying material opulence, and whatever problems comes, by suffering those problems, your all impious karma will be burnt, and in that way you will be fully freed from all bondage and you will return home back to Godhead. So 2 days back, His Grace Ram Rupru was discussing about how devotees can also have material enjoyment that burns their piety. And then further in today's verse, then Prahlad, when Lord is again and again telling to ask for a benediction, so very humbly Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, my Lord, you know, my father who was so much envious of you and who always tried to neglect your existence, and he was completely atheistic, he was angry on you, so I am praying to you that please forgive him. So although then Lord, as soon as Lord glanced over Prahlad Maharaj already, as soon as Lord glanced over Narsingdev, as soon as Lord glanced over Hiranyakashipu, already Hiranyakashipu was completely purified, and then there was no any kind of impurity in Hiranyakashipu. And when Lord killed him, we have heard so many times, whether Krishna loves or Krishna kills, because he is absolute, then everyone gets the, you know, liberated. So when Narsingdev killed Hiranyakashipu, it is showed that he got liberated, but still Prahlad wanted a confirmation from the Lord's mouth. He wanted to hear from the Lord's mouth himself. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, Prahlad Maharaj offered this prayer to the Lord for the sake of his father. As a Vaishnava son, despite all the inconveniences imposed upon him by his father, he could not forget his father's affection. So Prahlad was quite confident that, yes, Lord has freed my father from all sinful activities, the reactions, but still he wanted to hear from Lord Narsingdev. We see in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam that how Prahlad Maharaj, you know, from his childhood he was so devoted to Lord Narsingdev, he was always worshipping, and Hiranyakashipu, who did such an amazing tapasya, you know, no one can do austerity like Hiranyakashipu, standing on the toe of his feet for so many years, for millions of years, and his whole body reduced to a skeleton, neither breathing nor eating nor doing any kind of external activity. And in such a state, Hiranyakashipu prayed and get benediction from Brahma, and Hiranyakashipu becomes the most powerful personality in the whole material world, in the whole creation, in this universe. He becomes the most powerful person, and after becoming so powerful, you know, he is having all the sources of enjoyment. Whatever one is looking for, like, you know, people want all kind of objects for sense gratification, they want to enjoy in this life, and they look for, like in current days, Kali Yuga, people look for small enjoyment, a little bit of flats or bungalows or cars, but Hiranyakashipu's ambition was much more. He wanted to become immortal, and he became powerful, all the demigods were serving under him. And being so powerful, after achieving all the success, still Hiranyakashipu was not happy. It is just like, you know, you have got all the facilities, you know, you're walking in the very wonderful garden and nice flowers are there, nice sources of enjoyment are there, but a single pin, you know, single pin goes into the feet, there is a pin prick, and all the sources of enjoyment which is in front of us, you know,
doesn't give any pleasure at all. Because this pin in the feet is giving so much of trouble. How much is the size of the pin? You know, it's just a small dot. But it has entered inside our feet. And then we are not able to enjoy anything. We are just troubled with that small single pin. Although all the sources of enjoyment are there. So similarly, Hiranyakashipu had everything. Whatever someone is looking in this current material world, whatever pleasure one is looking for, Hiranyakashipu was having everything. But just his one son, you know, he had four sons. So one son, he just is a devotee of the Lord. And that is troubling Hiranyakashipu so much. So he has all the riches, he has all the material opulence, he has got so much of wealth. He has got all the demigods. By just movement of his eyebrows, the demigods used to act and serve him. And such Hiranyakashipu, by just a five-year-old boy, he has become a devotee of Lord. So that is troubling him like anything. And he is not getting any kind of happiness in all sorts of activities of sense gratification. He is having no happiness. So this is the nature of the people of the material world. You know, they may get everything, whatever in the material world, one source of sense gratification, then other source of sense gratification, you know. They may try to enjoy all sense sources, all the senses to the fullest extent, but that is not going to satisfy, you know. So Hiranyakashipu was having all the wealth, all the followings, all the followers, in spite of all these things, he was not satisfied because his one son is a devotee. And then when Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, you know, what did you learn? So first time he says that, you know, Griha and the Kupan, this all is give up and go to the forest. And second time when he's asked, he says, you know, 9 ways to perform devotional practice. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. So we see that Prahlad Maharaj was never disobedient or disrespectful to his father Hiranyakashipu, but at the same time he never accepted the philosophy given by his teacher Sandhya Amarka, neither he accepted whatever his father was telling. You know, his father was telling forget Vishnu and just learn everything, enjoy senses. So Prahlad Maharaj used to hear everything, but he was never disobedient or disrespectful to his father. But at the same time, he never agreed to the demoniac principles of his father. He always continued his devotion. And so many times, Hiranyakashipu tried to harm Prahlad Maharaj. He tried to throw him from the cliff of the mountain. He tried to put him in a place full of poisonous snakes. And so many ways, but he tried all the possible way, putting in front of mad elephants, every possible way by which one can be killed. So Hiranyakashipu tried all the possible ways to kill Prahlad Maharaj, but he could not. He was not successful. And we see Prahlad Maharaj never prayed that, my Lord, you know, my father is troubling me so much. Please help me. Please protect me. Prahlad was naturally having full faith on the Lord. You know? Just like Bhakti Vinod Thakur tells in his bhajan, Maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichha to mar, nitya das prati tua adhikar. Whether you keep me alive or whether you kill me, you know, maro bhi rakho bhi jo ichha to mar, whatever is your desire. My only desire is that I am always, you know, you have full freedom to act on your nitya das, your eternal servant. I am just your servant and whatever you wish to do with me. So Prahlad Maharaj was always conscious of the God, always knowing that Krishna is the protector. If he wants to protect me, nobody can kill me. And if he wants to kill me, nobody can protect me. If Krishna wants to protect, nobody can kill. Rakhe Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rakhe ke. So Prahlad was having full faith on the Lord. And he never prayed like this. There was never a dealing of merchant that, you know, now since I am your devotee, so why I am suffering so much? Why so much troubles are there in my life? Never like that he prayed. But he was always just thinking of the Lord and trying to preach the glories of the Lord. You know, trying to preach his friends, trying to preach even his father. Although knowing well that his father is the Asuryavar Dehi Nama, the greatest among the demigods, the greatest among the demons, the king of the demons. But still he's trying to preach. He's always thinking how to preach this message. So such was the thoughts of Prahlad Maharaj, always to preach, always to help others. And we see a great quality of Prahlad Maharaj in this verse is the quality of forgiveness. Although Hiranyakashipu tried all the way to kill Prahlad, and not only Prahlad, but Hiranyakashipu troubled so many demigods who are also devotees of Krishna. And not only that, Hiranyakashipu killed so many brahmanas, so many cows. He was like create a great havoc in the whole universe by destroying all the Vedic principles. Hiranyakashipu was breaking all regulative principles, killing the devotees, killing the brahmanas, killing the cows, creating disturbance for the demigods, and even disturbing Prahlad. In spite of all these difficulties being faced, you know, Prahlad could have thought, you know, very nice, you know, Lord, you have killed him, now put him into the hell. But Prahlad Maharaj is praying here for forgiveness. He is telling that, please forgive my father. That is how a devotee is. A devotee is always affectionate. He is not attached. Just like sometimes, you know, in my experience of youth preaching, sometimes I tell students, please chant more and more, chant at least 16 rounds. And when you are at home, also chant 16 rounds. So they say that, no, my parents are not allowing me to chant. They are saying I should not chant. So that's why I am not chanting. So I tell them, this is a sign of attachment, you know. Your father is telling you not to chant, but this is, you are attached, you know. You chant and then you be obedient to your father for whatever else he says. You be obedient for that. But when it comes to practice Krishna consciousness, if we compromise our practice of Krishna consciousness just on the sake of some, you know, blood relationship or family relationship, then it is a sign of attachment. But many places, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that we have to be affectionate. We are affectionate. We pray for everyone's well-being. Like throughout his letters, Srila Prabhupada used to write to his disciples that I have my affection for you. I am very affectionate to you. But he never said that I am attached to you. You know. So that is the sign of a devotee, that he feels affection for his family members. He feels affection for his other devotees. And in general for the whole public, for everyone in the material world, for every living being, we feel affection. But there is no such attachment, because attachment leads to more and more binding in the material world. So when Hiranyakashipu was trying to convince Prahlad that don't become a devotee, if Prahlad would have been attached to his father, Prahlad would have said, okay, no, my father is telling, he's my father, he has given me birth, so I have to follow my father. But he knows very well that ultimately Krishna says that Aham Bija Pradapita, you know, I am the seed giving father of everyone. So Prahlad Maharaj knows that whether it's me or Hiranyakashipu, everyone is finally part and parcel of whom? It's Krishna. So we all are attached to Krishna. So that is a more important thing to follow rather than what he is saying to follow, rather than what my father is saying to follow. So he never disrespected his father, but at the same time, he never agreed to the proposals of his father. And that is how a devotee should always act. We never disrespect anyone. At the same time, we never agree to the demoniac proposals of our family or our friends or anyone. Whatever demoniac proposals they give, we never agree to it. But we preach them. It's not that we listen to them. We preach them what is truth. We preach them openly. We preach them without feeling that whether he will feel good or bad. Like in material terms, we follow this principle of Satyam Bhuryat Priyam Bhuryat. Speak truth and speak the truth which is palatable truth. But when it comes to speak philosophy, Srila Prabhupada writes in one letter, when we are speaking philosophy, then we only speak Satyam, only Satyam Bhuryat. We speak Satya, what is truth. Whether it is palatable or not palatable, whether it is Priyam or Apriyam, that doesn't matter. But we have to speak the truth, because we cannot compromise. Prabhupada used to say that my spiritual master Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur never compromised in speaking the philosophy. And many times his disciples, my God brothers, they criticized Guru Maharaj that if you will speak such a strong philosophy, then it may happen that nobody will come us. Nobody will accept our following. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur said that I don't mind, but I cannot compromise to speak philosophy. I have to speak the truth. And then Srila Prabhupada told his disciple that I have also taken the same principle of my Guru Maharaj, the principle of no compromise. You know, When it comes to speak philosophy, you know, we see Prabhupada, he was like, every time addressing fools, rascals, demoniacs. He used to say, people are just getting into wrong way. So when it comes to speak philosophy, Srila Prabhupada never compromised. He said, I am following the principle of my Guru Maharaj of no compromise. And that is, I am not going to speak something which will be palatable to the people in general. But when it came to show mercy, we see Prabhupada was also very forgiving. He used to forgive for all the mistakes their disciple committed, and used to always give them another chance. In fact, in the whole Vaishnava parampara, in all the great Vaishnavas, we see there is a great quality of forgiveness. In spite of all the atrocities, all the difficulties given to a devotee, the devotee is always ready to forgive. And he always thinks that I am responsible for all these things. He never gives others any kind of blame. It's not a blame game that I blame you, but he always blames himself. Like we see in the pastime of Mahabharata, when Yudhishthira Maharaj and wanted to compromise with Duryodhan, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, just give us, we are Kshatriyas, so just give us 5 villages and we will rule over those 5 villages because we are Kshatriyas. And Duryodhan said, what about 5 villages? I am not going to give even a land equal to the point of a needle. Duryodhan refused to give even a land equal to the point of the needle. So then ultimately there was battle, and in the battle we know that so much of killing was there, so many great personalities died in the battle. And after the end of the battle, what happens? You see, Yudhishthira Maharaj is so upset, and he is thinking that I am responsible for this whole battle. I wanted to enjoy this material world. I wanted to enjoy this material opulence, this kingdom. So I became the cause of killing all my relatives, all my 100 cousin brothers, and so many gurus and everyone. I am the cause for this. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was considering himself responsible for all kind of fight and killing, whatever happened. He did not blame Duryodhan or did not blame Dhritarashtra. Yudhishthira Maharaj was blaming himself. And then finally we know that Lord takes Yudhishthira Maharaj to, you know, Lord could have himself pacified Yudhishthira Maharaj, but instead of pacifying himself, Lord takes Yudhishthira Maharaj to Bhishma Pitama. And then Bhishma Pitama further glorifies Lord. And there how Lord wants to glorify his devotees. Like here also in this chapter, you know, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, Lord is always trying, there is always competition. The devotees are trying to glorify the Lord, and the Lord is always trying to glorify his devotees. So we see so many devotees, they show this forgiveness and humble nature. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see the pastime of Haridas Thakur. Now Haridas Thakur, being a Muslim, born in a Muslim family, he was chanting every day Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And this complaint was given to the Kaji there, and he ordered that beat Haridas Thakur till death. And then the soldiers, they came and they started beating Haridas Thakur. And they beat Haridas Thakur, you know, they are whipping him, and they did this in 22 marketplaces. And throughout the time when they were whipping Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur never prayed to the Lord that, my Lord, you know, they are hitting me so badly, I am your devotee, I am chanting whole day, please protect me. Haridas Thakur never prayed like this. But what was his prayer? Haridas Thakur was praying that, my Lord, please forgive them. They don't know what are they doing. He was praying for the soldiers, please forgive them. They don't know what are they doing by hitting me, you know. So please forgive them. And after whipping him for 22 marketplaces, when Haridas Thakur was not dying, then these soldiers, they requested Haridas Thakur. You know, Haridas Thakur asked them, what do you want? So they said that, no, if you don't die, then a minister will kill us. So Haridas Thakur said, okay, you just want me to die? So immediately Haridas Thakur went into Samadhi. And then they became very happy, these soldiers. And they went to the minister and they said that we killed Haridas Thakur. Later on, in Mahaprakash Leela, when Lord was revealing all the devotees, he called Haridas Thakur. And he said, Haridas Thakur, that my dear Haridas, when you were being beaten in the 22 marketplaces by those soldiers, you know, I had sent my Sudarshan to protect you. But because you were praying that please forgive these soldiers, that's why my Sudarshan did not act on these soldiers. You know. And then I thought, now what should I do? You are so merciful, you are so forgiving. So finally I embraced you. Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur, I embraced you. And because I embraced you, all the whippings came on my body. And then the Lord showed his own body to Haridas Thakur. And he showed that Lord's, you know, back was having all the marks of the whipping done by the soldiers. So such is the nature of the devotees. They are so merciful, they are so forgiving. In spite of all mistakes, all bad things done by anyone, the devotees always forgive. They always forget and they forgive. They never keep it in their heart. They never keep it in their thought. Like in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada, in the Bhagavad Gita, in one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada mentions that when Krishna talks about that those who are too ignorant, don't disturb them. So when Prabhupada writes in the purport, you know, that men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord. Prabhupada says, but the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kind of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the act of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. Bhagavad Gita chapter 3 verse number 30. So devotees of the Lord are, you know, much more merciful than the Lord himself, and they always want to forgive anyone for whatever has been done to them. The devotees, they never take any personal grudges. Not since you create trouble for me, so now when I get opportunity, I am going to show you, you know. Not like that, but devotees are always merciful. When any trouble comes to their life, they see that it is my own bad karma and it is for my own purification. All the problems, all the difficulties, whatever I am facing in my life, it is the results of my own bad karma, and my sins are burning by this, and Lord is purifying me so that in future I can be more closer to the Lord. A devotee never feels that, no, he is troubling me, that is troubling me. Never. He always sees as the reaction of his own bad karma. And Srila Prabhupada, we can see that who can be more forgiving than Srila Prabhupada. You know, Srila Prabhupada in his life, in his instructions, by his own example, he always showed forgiveness to anyone and everyone. He always showed forgiveness. And he got so many disciples, and many times it happened that the disciples misbehaved. Or they reacted badly to Prabhupada's desire. They even disagreed with Prabhupada's instructions. But later on, when they came back to Srila Prabhupada always forgave them. And not only he forgave them, he always instructed his disciples to forgive other devotees or whoever, people in the material world, forgive them. Not to keep any grudges in our heart. And that was the highest compassion of Prabhupada. That was the forgiving nature of Prabhupada. And we can see by his personal example that in spite at the age of 70, when the life was very comfortable for Srila Prabhupada, staying in the dham, staying in Vrindavan, in the Radha Damodar temple, he could have peacefully chanted and went back to Godhead. But he chose at the age of 70 that, let me go to the west and preach and try to give this Krishna consciousness to others. Although, you know, Prabhupada tried in India and things were not working out, but he never lost the hope. He was always planning, okay, now I have to do this, I have to do that. Always thinking, he never lost hope that now I am 70-year-old and I can't do anything. He was always contemplating how to spread this message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and how to fulfill the order of my spiritual master, which is to take this message of Krishna consciousness worldwide. So despite at the age of ripened age of 70, he took this task to go to the west, and he went there and he started preaching this Krishna consciousness to his disciples. And we see the mood of the Srila Prabhupada when he was going in the ship. Prabhupada wrote a bhajan, Markite Bhagavad Dharma, and in that bhajan Prabhupada, you know, wonderful, amazing, he's showing his compassion, his heart, he's writing down in the ship. Few of the lines of his bhajan I thought will be very nice to share with everyone. Like he says, Ki bhave bujhale tara bujhe sei rasa, eta kripa karo prabhu karo niji basa. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. So Prabhupada is, although you know Prabhupada is a Paramhansa Bhagavat, but he is praying to the Lord that, you know, how I don't know, I need your mercy to give your message. Tabi ichha hoy jadi tadera udhar, bujhibe nischayi tabe katha se tomar. I wish that you may deliver them. Just like you see Prahlad Maharaj is praying to Lord Narsingdev that I only want that you please deliver my father, forgive my father. And in the same mode, Srila Prabhupada is telling, I wish that you may deliver them. Now these people of the Western world, they were no relatives of Prabhupada. There was nothing to do with in blood relation, countrymen, society men, they were nothing. But that was immense Prabhupada's compassion, because he was seeing everyone on the level of the soul. In the level of soul, Pandita Samdarshina, I was saying that everyone is soul, everyone is connected to Krishna. I wish that you may deliver them, therefore you so desire their deliverance, then only will they able to understand your message. Akhila Jagat Guru, Vachana Se Amar, Alankrita Koribai Khamata Tomar. Prabhupada says, O Lord, you are Akhila Jagat Guru. And in the similar way, in this verse also, Prahlad Maharaj says, Sarva Loka Gurum Prabhum. Prahlad Maharaj is telling Shri Dev, you are Sarva Loka Gurum Prabhum. You are the Loka of the, you are the Guru of the whole world, Sarva Loka Guru. And Prabhupada is also saying, Akhila Jagat Guru, O spiritual master of all worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Further Prabhupada says, Tav kripa hale mor katha sudha habe, suniya sabara sok dukha se guchibe. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their heart, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. And further, Prabhupada shows his complete dependence on the Lord, and he writes, Ani acho jadi Prabhu amare na chate, na chao Prabhu, na chao se mate, kasthera putali jatha na chao se mate. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance as you like. So we see Srila Prabhupada that he is showing complete dependence on Lord. And just as Prahlad Maharaj is addressing in these verses, we find same mood Prabhupada is also carrying, and is also writing these verses while going in the ship. And when he goes and further meets he starts preaching all over the world. And you know, he comes to Bombay and he preaches in Bombay. And we know this story of how so much trouble was there in this Bombay project. And finally Mr. Nair dies, and there is a fight with Mrs. Nair. And further, you know, Prabhupada is trying, and he comes back all the way from, he's in London. Giriraj Maharaj calls Prabhupada and he says that Mrs. Nair is ready to settle, you please come. Prabhupada comes back to Bombay, and there is a Mr. Rasnani who is the lawyer who is trying to set up things between Prabhupada and Mrs. Nair. And Mrs. Nair is always saying, my health is not good, she is not coming. Then finally she comes and meets Prabhupada. And Srila Satsarup Maharaj writes in Lila Amrit, around midnight, Srila Prabhupada returned to his room again. Mrs. Nair was still waiting. She burst into tears and bowed at Prabhupada's feet. She said, I am sorry for everything I have done. She sobbed, please forgive me. She promised to whatever Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada looked at her compassionately and understood her heart. Prabhupada said, you are just like my daughter. Don't worry, I will take care of you. I will see to all your needs for the rest of your life. So although so much of trouble for so many years, But when Mrs. Nair surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada is telling, you are like my daughter and I will take care of you for the rest of your life. Don't worry. So that is an acharya, that when someone is asking forgiveness, Prabhupada is never thinking, oh, you troubled so much, you troubled my disciples, you troubled me, and so much of disturbance for almost, you know, long, many years. But when she surrendered, Prabhupada said, you are like my daughter, and don't worry, I will take care of you. And not only by his personal example, but also when it comes to teach others, Prabhupada said, he always inspired his disciples that learn to forgive each other, forget the instances and cooperate so that the movement can go on. And I find these things very obvious in Srila Prabhupada's letters. And I thought maybe a few paragraphs I share with all of you, seeing how forgiving and how compassionate Srila Prabhupada is. You know, in one place Prabhupada writes, you know, I have noted your several complaints against the devotees, but it would be better to set the example rather than to criticize the defects of the devotees. We should always remember that we recruit members from people in general. It is not expected that every one of our members should be immediately to the standard qualification. The best thing for you is to set the example by your personal behavior and try to reform the others, not by criticizing, but by friendly behavior. If sometimes there are any disagreement, we should try to forget such incidences and be always in friendship with each other. So that is the mood Srila Prabhupada is always telling, that cooperate, forget the instances. Like yesterday, therefore yesterday, Devkinandan was giving class and he mentioned that when somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, why are you opening so many temples? Prabhupada said, I am not opening temples. What I am opening? I am opening hospitals. And hospitals, you don't expect good people to come. Hospitals, only those come who are diseased, who have all kind of lust, anger, greed, envy, all bad things are there. So they have come to the hospital to take treatment and get cured. So we don't expect that when someone is an address of a devotee, he will be a paramhansa. But he is on the path to become a pure devotee. Anyone who is following a pure devotee is in the path to become a pure devotee. It's a matter of time, he will be becoming a pure devotee. Another very interesting letter Srila Prabhupada mentions to his disciples. You know, he says that how responsible a devotee has to be. Anybody who is taking care of other devotees, how much responsible he has to be. So one time they had organized some trip and that got cancelled. And then Srila Prabhupada writes to his disciples, regarding the Malaysian trip being called off, everything must be done very cautiously because our Indian people, they are very poor and prone to steal. We collect money with so much hard labor. But one thing is there, that money is not important. If the man goes away taking our money, that is our discredit. The man is more important than the money. We admit everyone to our society, including the cheaters, the drug addicts, all are qualified. We should take responsibility to train them. Why he has left? It is our responsibility to train and rectify them. So Prabhupada always took responsibility. If I am not able to preach, I am not able to give, it is my disqualification. You know, if someone is still in spite of giving Krishna consciousness, speaking Bhagavatam, if a person is not becoming a devotee, it may be my disqualification. So we learn from these qualities of Prahlad Maharaj as well as Srila Prabhupada, that in spite of, you know, people were so sinful, materialistic, but they were always forgiving, always giving them, whenever they surrendered, they were always forgiving and praying to the Lord that please accept them in your service and engage them in your service, and whatever offenses they have done, please forgive them for that. So I'll stop here. Any questions?
प्रहलाद महाराज से हमें जो शिक्षा मिल रही है लगातार चल रहा है, बहुत आनंद आ रहा है। हमें लगता है सभी भक्तों का आनंद आ रहा होगा। हमें सीखना चाहिए, जैसे प्रभु जी ने बताया कि हम सब प्रहलाद महाराज से सीखना चाहिए कि कैसे भक्ति करें। तो सबको क्लास में आना चाहिए, बहुत सारे लोग नहीं आते हैं। जब नहीं आएंगे तो उनको पता ही नहीं चलेगा प्रहलाद महाराज की भक्ति क्या है। सब लोग आए यहाँ पे क्लास सुने, हमारी सबसे प्रार्थना है। जो लोग नहीं आते हैं वो सब वंचित रहते हैं प्रहलाद महाराज की शिक्षा से। हरे कृष्ण।
हरे कृष्ण। थैंक यू सर।
हरे कृष्ण। अच्छा लेक्चर, बढ़िया। जैसे बोले कि फॉरगिवनेस, माफ करना, लेकिन हमारा हृदय में ऐसे माफ करने का विचार कैसे आएगा? जैसे प्रभुपाद जी का मन में विचार है, शुद्ध भक्तों का विचार होता है कि माफ करना, ऐसे हम लोगों का हृदय में ऐसे विचार कैसे आएगा?
हम लोग एक्चुअली सो हाउ वी डेवलप दैट क्वालिटी ऑफ फॉरगिवनेस, सो वी दीज आर द वैष्णव क्वालिटीज, फॉरगिवनेस, मर्सीफुल, दीज आर द क्वालिटीज ऑफ ए वैष्णवा, हिज ट्रूथफुल। एंड अ वैष्णव क्वालिटीज वी नेवर डेवलप बाय अवर ओन स्ट्रेंथ, अ वैष्णव क्वालिटीज वी ओनली डेवलप बाय द मर्सी ऑफ अदर वैष्णवास। लाइक देयर इज अ भजन विच सेज दैट and which talks about how I can become a devotee, how I get bhakti. So that bhajan says, Krishna se tomara, Krishna dito paro, tomara sakti ache. Ami to kangala, Krishna boli boli, dhai tava pache pache. So I have no qualification. So on my strength, I cannot develop this quality of forgiveness. That will be a artificial qualification and that will be harmful. You know, sometimes that can be a false compassion. Like someone is not chanting Maha Mantra and you say that, okay, it's okay, you don't chant, but no. And I say I am very affectionate to him, he is not able to chant, so I don't want to force him to chant, I don't want to force him to follow relative principles. Even if he is breaking relative principles, I want to forgive him. So that is a false compassion which we may develop. So this quality of forgiveness we develop, as much I am learning, is by seeing the life of Vaishnava Acharyas, the previous Acharyas, by seeing their example, Mahajano Yena Gathasa Panta. By seeing the example of the previous Acharyas, by seeing the example, live example of Prabhupada, and by seeing current so many devotees, personalities in ISKCON, the leaders, how they are doing, so by taking their association, by hearing from them, the more we associate with them, the more we will learn, and we'll learn by the practical example. Because theory is there, but it will become more of realization when we associate more with the senior Vaishnavas, see their example and see the previous example of the previous Acharyas. And even a situation comes when it's difficult for us to take a decision whether to forgive or not, we can always consult. There's a Sadhu, Guru and Shastra. So if we are doubtful on our decision, we can always check with Sadhu, Guru and Shastra and consult them and then do things. So if we are doubtful, we do in that way. But the Acharyas, they so their own example, like Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas. We see whole Bhagavatam is full of such forgiveness. Amrish Maharaj forgiving Durvasa Muni. And then further, so many instances are there. Dhruv Maharaj forgiving his stepmother. Dhruv Maharaj Prahlad forgiving his father, Hiranyakashipu. So many instances are there. So we develop these qualities in due course of time by the association of Vaishnavas. If they are merciful, Sadhu and Vaishnavas, they are merciful on us, then we develop these qualities, we learn. But if we want to do an artificial platform, then we may harm others. We may, instead of giving a benefit by forgiving, we are harming others. So we have to learn from the example of the previous Acharyas and pray to the Lord for guidance. And if anyone would like to add to the answers. This is the last question there.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nice class, and he nicely talked about the forgiveness. We may sometimes forgive, but we don't forget. So what are the tips to forget about the whole incident?
We may forgive, but we may not forget. We forgive, but by forgiving, we give opportunity to anyone to become a devotee. Now forgetting, there are certain things regarding forgetting. One thing is that, you know, if there is some personal enmity towards me, some problem done to me, so I don't keep those personal grudges. I don't keep those personal grudges as an individual. I don't keep those personal grudges. But when I am in a position where I am have a 10 devotees under me, and I know this devotee is having some problem, like this devotee is very loose with Mataji's, and he did some mistake last time, and he came and asked forgiveness, so we forgave him. But we should not forget that this devotee I am guiding, and he had a problem. So I should not forget that and should not allow him to again mix up with the opposite sex and again get into the trouble. So there are two aspects. There is an individual aspect and there is an aspect where you are responsible for some devotees under you. For individually, we should forget everything and forgive everything. And we individually, we don't keep any personal grudge or any kind of bad thoughts, evil thoughts about anyone. But when it comes to when we are preaching, we have 10-20 devotees whom we are guiding. We have forgive them, but we don't forget that they have some shortcomings which has to be rectified. So we are responsible for their correcting them. But when it comes to personally, we should always forget and forgive. We keep any grudges. You know, we can punish anyone and we can ban or not talk or whatever. We can do anything. But if you see Krishna is so merciful that whatever even if Krishna is very upset with anyone, he cannot throw him out of his creation, because ultimately everyone will be in his creation only. Even like Hiranyakashipu was trying to so much harm devotees, tried to fight with Narsingdev, still Narsingdev is merciful, still keeping him. Okay, now he is my part and parcel, where Narsingdev is not going to set out a separate planet where my jurisdiction doesn't apply. So, you know, Krishna always is merciful to everyone, however sinful one may be. So we are nowhere, and so who are we to carry any kind of grudges or any kind of misdoings, any kind of problems done? We should not keep. We can just forget it.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanande.